Good morning, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. If you want to say amen, you can wave the hand. Yeah, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Before we came into this service, we prayed that, Lord, you would go beyond the limitations of mask and humidity and sanitizer and speak to our hearts. Is that possible today? Yes? Okay. So we had a wonderful first service, and we believe that we will also have a wonderful second service. So let's turn to 1 John chapter 1, and we'll read the whole chapter. And we'll read 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. Maybe we can stand. If you feel comfortable, you can stand. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. And today we lift up Dennis, who has had a lower back surgery. We pray you would heal him and you would be with his wife and children. And even as we are here, Lord, thank you for the privilege of meeting as a body. Thank you for the quietness, and we pray that you would speak to us in the still small voice, in peace and in quietness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Yeah. So it's really good to see you. Yeah. I must say that in so many years of being a Christian, I've never, ever, ever had to ask people, are you going to come? It's like booking tickets for a movie. Are you going to come? You know, we need a head count. The house of the Lord is always whoever will may come, right? But it's really good to see you. And I believe with all my heart that even though we are 6 feet apart and we have all these limitations, yet God is amongst us and God will speak to us. Amen? Yeah? Okay, so today's title of today's message is An Ongoing Fellowship with God, the Key to a Blessed Life. An Ongoing Fellowship with God, the Key to a Blessed Life. The Key to a Blessed Life. Now, firstly, we will look at what is the definition of fellowship. Now, fellowship is not a word which we use in everyday spoken language. And what does fellowship mean? So the Oxford Dictionary gives three meanings. Friendliness and companionship based on shared interests, right? Friendliness and companionship based on shared interests. Or secondly, a group of people meeting to pursue a shared interest or aim. Or the third one is the position of a fellow of a college or society, right? So that's the Oxford Dictionary of the word fellowship. When we come to the Bible, the word appears four times in this text in 1 John. It appears two times in verse 3. Truly our fellowship with us and fellowship with the Father. It appears in verse 6, fellowship with him, and in verse 7, fellowship with one another. And it's the same word, and we are going to learn that Greek word today. It is the word koinonia, K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A, koinonia, okay? So can we say that? Most of us know it, but let's say that. Koinonia, right? Let's say it loudly. What? Koinonia, right? And what does this mean, this word koinonia, right? Basically, it comes from the Greek word koinos, K-O-I-N-O-S, and it means that which is common, or it means to have something in common, to have something in common. In the Greek of the New Testament days, when they would use this word koinonia, it would be used in three ways. This is what Barclay says. Firstly, it would be used as a business partnership. Koinonia in business partnership, having a business partnership. Or it would be used in marriage. There is a partnership of life. Or it could be used of man's relationship with God in the classical Greek. And the Holy Spirit takes that word koinonia and puts it in the Bible. And for us today, what does it mean? It means to have something in common or a partnership. Or a partnership. And there are three biblical meanings for this word. The first meaning is joint participation. So in 1 John 1, when verse 3, when John is saying truly our fellowship, or he's saying truly our joint participation is with the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. That's in 1 John 1. Biblically, it could mean a second thing, a community or society. In Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. They were together. They were all saved. They were all water baptized. They were together as a church, as a group of people, as a community or a society. And the third meaning is joint giving. In 2 Corinthians 8:4, where they were giving money jointly as a church and it was being given to another purpose, joint giving. So three meanings in the Bible. The first one is joint participation. The second one is a community or a society. And the third one is joint meaning. And if you see this word, there is a common ground in the meaning of this word. There is something which is in common. What is it? Something which is in common, right? So when you have a business partnership, what is in common? The business, right? When you have a marriage, what is in common? It's a shared life together, right? And between God and man, the relationship, what is in common, right? There's something which is in common. And that which is in common is the basis of the fellowship. Or that which is in common is the basis of the fellowship. Now, when we read 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, in our first point is the basis of the fellowship. Now, when the Apostle John is writing this, he's writing this as an old man. This is about AD 90, and the church was formed about AD 30 or AD 33, And many years have passed, and he uses this beautiful term, my little children. He's talking as an older man to the young generation. And he, in 1 John 1 to 4, he sets the basis of the fellowship, right? The basis of the fellowship. And he says this, in verse 1 and 2, he talks about that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and which was manifested to us. And that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So, he's talking here because by that time in AD 90, there were teachings, false teachings, which denied the deity of Christ and which denied the incarnation of Christ, right? And he's stating that the Jesus whom I'm presenting to you is somebody whom we physically lived with, we physically touched him, we physically saw him. He was a real person, right? And I'm saying this, that you can have fellowship with us. You can have a joint participation with us, and we have a joint participation with whom? With the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, right? Now, when you look at 1 John, it talks about God as in three ways. In 1 John 1, 5, it says God is light. In 1 John 4, 8, it says God is love. And in 1 John 5, 10, it says, 1 John 5, 12, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So God is light. God is what? Love. And God has life, and He gives life. Right? And that's so very important for us to understand, that when you look at an understanding of how an unsaved person thinks about God, he thinks about God in this way. Is there a God or gods? If they are there, are they angry with me about something? If they are angry, what should I do to please them? Right? And after I please them, what do I do to get divine favor from them? Correct? And unbelievers are praying for help, for protection, for provision, healing, deliverance, etc. And then when somebody passes away, if you see on the posts, what do they say? R.I.P. May his soul rest in peace, right? May. It's a wish. There's no guarantee, there's no surety, there's no assurance, right? That's how an unbeliever thinks with God. But when we think of God, how do we think of God? Or what do I have in common with God? And in 1 John 4, it says this, verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, that not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for us. These are such beautiful verses. And what does it show? You know, this shows that when you come to the Bible, that it was not we who went after God, but it was God who came after us, right? And 2,000 years ago, God displayed his love on the cross, right? He sent his Son to die for us on the cross. And so what do we have in common with God? Like, God is spirit and I'm a man. What do we have in common? Therefore, in Hebrews 2:14, right, God sent his Son and his Son became a man, right? And he was God and man, the hypostatic union. And now I have something in common with Jesus, right? He became a man. And when he died on the cross, God the Father put all our sins on him. past, present, and future. For the whole world, he put it on him. And his blood was shed for us. And when he rose up, and when the gospel came to us, what happened? You and I, we were in this place to receive the love of God. What is that love? It's an unconditional love. That he loves us unconditionally, that he paid for all our sin. And when we invited him into our hearts as our Savior, he made us his child forever. He made us his sons and his daughters forever. That is such an incredible message today. Amen? And that is the basis, that is the foundation of the Christian faith and the foundation of the Bible. And what is that? That means that day when the gospel came to you and you believed, you were saved forever. Amen? You were saved forever. It is not a feeling. It is not something which comes and goes. God is not going to change his mind. God gave it to you forever. And that is the basis. What is that I have in common? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can go to the Father except through me. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus in 1 Timothy 2:5. And I have that in common. And that is the basis where you and I now, we have a personal relationship with the living God. And the blood of Jesus has appeased his wrath. And now he shows us divine favor. And when we die, we are not saying, may soul rest in peace. We are 100% assured that we are going to what? Rejoice in heaven. Amen? That is the basis of the fellowship. And that's a foundational doctrine which can never change. It can never change. That's the first point. And that is what John is saying. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. You know, today, you and I, our joy can be totally full without doing anything. Without doing anything. In just knowing and understanding how great this God is. That he is what? Agape love. And he's just not agape love, but he demonstrated this love by giving us his Son. Right? And you know what the good news is today? This is the good news. If you have lost a job, it's okay. You know why? Because your salvation is something which the money of this world cannot buy. Matthew 16:26. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? The means in 1 Peter 1:18 was the precious blood of Jesus, which cannot be bought with money. And guess what else cannot be bought with money? In Acts chapter 8, the indwelling Holy Spirit cannot be bought with money. And you and I have that indwelling Holy Spirit. And we share, we have something in common, the indwelling Holy Spirit. So each one of us has the indwelling Holy Spirit. And each one of us has been made to drink of that same Spirit. And we have that same life in 1 John 5:10 flowing in us. He who has the life in 1 John 5:10 and 5:12 has life. And the life of Jesus is in us. Isn't that incredible? And that is the life we share. And that is the common ground of why we are here. Right? The basis of fellowship. That's point number one. Point number two we come is in verse 5 to 7. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. That God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now this is important. In our second point, is the condition for experiential fellowship. And what is that? Walking in the light. So let's say I say I'm walking in the light, but in my behavior, in my words, or even in my thought life, it is revealing darkness. Then what is the Bible saying? I am lying. Because if I say I'm walking in the light and my behavior shows darkness, it cannot be. Why? Because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That's a very important point, right? And it says here, But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, what is walking in the light? Right? Light talks about God's righteousness. Light talks about God's word. Right? When you and I read the Bible on a daily basis, when we come to a service, when we come to a Bible college class, or when we talk to one another, and when the word comes to us, that is God's light. It is revealing his heart, and it is revealing his righteousness. When I receive it and I understand it, and now I start obeying it, and I start living according to God's word, what happens? You and I, we are walking in the light. And as we start walking in the light, simultaneously, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. Sin which I cannot remember, sin which is, unintentional, sins of omission, it cleanses me, right? And this is so beautiful that this is the condition for experiential fellowship. And what does that mean to us? This is what it means to us, that God just didn't save us and said, okay, you're forgiven, and I'm going to take you to heaven one day. No. This is the good news this morning, right? And what is the good news? God didn't just save us. He said, I want to have a personal relationship with you, and I want to have fellowship with you, and I want to have something in common with you. Correct? Now, when you think about something in common, like when you think about partnership, right? If you look at Luke chapter 5, we see Peter and his two cousins, James and John, they were partners, right? And this is interesting. Luke chapter 5, in verse 7. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink, right? And verse 10, so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, right? So they were partners. What was the common element? The fishing business. So if you read Luke 5, the whole night they didn't catch anything. That means they had to share in the losses. They both work, three of them are working, they share in the losses. When Jesus says, cast the net, Peter can't hold it, he calls them. Now what? They can share in the profits. Correct? And sometimes we think of God like that. God, you do 50%, I'll do 50%. But when you come to the Bible, it's not 50-50. It is God is 100% and mine is 0%. God does everything and I am a receiver. Now, if you are a housewife today and if you have a joint account with your husband, you are a blessed woman because your husband can work and put the money and you can take his card and swipe the money. You can buy whatever you want, right? That's the principle, okay? That's the principle. Now, please don't go and do that, okay? But that's like the principle of understanding God, where God does everything. He sent his son. And you and I are total beneficiaries in this relationship, right? Where he puts it in and I take it out. He died for me and then I now receive eternal life. And on a daily basis, God desires that he wants to fellowship with us. It's not the other way around where I want to fellowship with him. It is God wants to fellowship with me. Every morning when I get up, God wants to hang out with me. God wants to have a chai with me. God wants to talk to me. Isn't that incredible? Right? But the condition is that I have to walk in the light. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Matthew 11:28 to 30. Come and take my yoke upon you. Where Jesus is the dominant partner and I am the receiving partner. And I just have to agree with him. And when I agree with him, then all that is the Lord's is imparted or comes into my possession, right? Experiential fellowship, right? Experiential fellowship. And then in our third point, we come in verse 8 to 2, 1 and 2. It talks about the remedy for broken experiential fellowship. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Verse 8 talks about a person denying that they have a sin nature. Verse 10 talks about a person denying that they have personally sinned. But the remedy is this. If we confess, and the word confess means to say the same thing. God says this is sin, and therefore I confess that it is sin. And then it says in chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And I thought about this verse a lot, and I was thinking about an illustration. And this is what I thought. And I said it in the first service, that we all have medical insurance, right? Most of us, medical insurance, car insurance, bike insurance. But how many of us say, I will not wear a mask, I will not wash my hands, let the coronavirus come, I have medical insurance? Or how many of us say, I will drive the car just the way I want, I have car insurance? See, we don't live that way. We don't live that way. That is, we have it in a worst case scenario where we have not made those decisions and it happens to us, then the insurance covers it, right? In the same way, the Apostle John is encouraging the people that I'm saying this, that you would not sin. So we are not living as Christians with an intention to sin. That is not the way we live. And the whole objective is of the Christian life is not to sin. Like, I'm a Christian, I shouldn't sin. The whole objective of the Christian life is to fellowship with the true God. And as I'm fellowshipping with the true God, the side effect is I will not sin. Are we understanding? Right? I will not sin. So, and he himself. So the moment we sin, what happens? We just need to confess and we are back in fellowship with God. So first point, 1 John 3, 1 to 4, the basis of the fellowship, what Jesus did on the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Second point, condition for experiential fellowship is walking in the light on a daily basis. Third point, remedy for broken fellowship is simple confession, and we are back in fellowship with God. And the fourth point today, in 1 John 1, 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we have fellowship with him. And the fourth point is fellowshipping with God, the key to a blessed life, right? And the first thing which breaks fellowship, as we saw in this passage, is sin. And sometimes when we are out of fellowship, God comes after us. Peter said, Lord, I will never deny you. And then he failed the Lord. And then he went back to his fishing business in John 21 with six others. But God, the Lord came after him. And then the Lord said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Jesus restored him. Right? Jesus restored Peter to himself. And then Jesus restored Peter to his calling. Feed my sheep. Right? And he was restored back in fellowship. In Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and sup with me and he with me. And that is talking about the Laodicean church, which was materially blessed. And they said, I have need of nothing. Right? And you know, the goal of the Christian life is not to be materially prosperous. And if God materially prospers you, praise God for that. But let not that material prosperity become an idol where we think, no, I have no need of anything. No. We need God on a daily basis, irrespective of how much money we have or how much money we don't have. We need God, right? And what? He comes in and he restores us. That's so beautiful. God desires to fellowship with us more than we desire to fellowship with him, right? He stands at the door and knocks. That's beautiful. The second thing is, what disturbs us is people. Right? Have you ever been in a situation where you don't want any of the church people to talk to you? I just want my own space. I don't want anybody to talk to me because they're asking all these personal questions and I don't want to answer them. Have you been in that situation? God has answered your prayer today. Today we are 6 feet apart. We can't talk that. With the mask, we have to only say hi and bye, right? Right? But God is interested. And sometimes, with somebody else, I may do the wrong and all I have to say is, I'm sorry. In Luke 15:21, the prodigal son said, I'm sorry to his father. If somebody else has wronged you, when we are in fellowship with God, God will give you the grace to forgive. And God will give you the grace to unconditionally love. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. When you are in fellowship, God fills you with his love. That love satisfies you. That love reassures you. You don't need any more love in that sense, human love. And you are at a place where you can love others as God loves you. Isn't that incredible? That is incredible. That solves the people problem. And the third problem is the situation problem. Situation. I'm in a situation. Right? In Acts 16:25, we see Paul and Silas are in jail because they cast a demon out of a girl who was saying the right thing. And they are beaten and they are fastened with stocks and they are in jail. In verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God and the prisoners were listening to them. They were fellowshipping with God in an unpleasant situation. Amen? Tomorrow you may be like work from home. You've been working from home for the last 4 months. It's like a jail. But close the computer, take a break and praise God and worship God and sing a song. You know what happened here? The earthquake happened and the jailer got saved. Amen? Right? You know, what is the issue? Fellowshipping with God is the issue to a blessed life. And in Acts 27, we see Paul is in a very difficult and hopeless situation. He's on a boat. There is no hope. They have thrown out the food. Nobody has eaten because of the storm and different things. And an angel speaks to him in 27:23. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it were told me. Now, God gave him a personal word, which we call a rhema, for his personal situation. Today, as you are here in the church, it is highly possible that through the preaching of the word, God could give you a personal word. Or when you read the scriptures on a daily basis, or when you pray, or when you hear a message, God can give you a personal word in the midst of the most difficult and the most hopeless situation. And you hold on to it, and it comes to pass, and your life gets delivered, and the 273 people, their lives get delivered. Why? Because God wants to fellowship with me. God has a way out. God is loving me and God is constantly caring for me. So what is the key to our lives today? The key to our lives today is this. Fellowshipping with God on a daily basis. That is the key to our lives. For your personal life, if you desire to be personally happy, personally joyful, personally peaceful, is the personal fellowship with God. Why? Because we are all saved by the same way, by grace. We are all washed in the same blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have the same Holy Spirit in us, and we all have the same eternal Word of God in our hands. And it is the same Holy Spirit and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ who are working in us and through us. Amen? And that is the common life that we share in the church. What is common with us? We are all sinners saved by the beautiful grace of God. Isn't that incredible? I think this is incredible. This is incredible. And when we come on a daily basis and we fellowship with Him, you know what happens? God changes my mind. God changes my heart. And we realize that the problem is not on the outside. The problem is on the inside. The problem is not my brother or sister or my wife or my family or my church. No. or my pastor. The problem is on the inside. I need to be in fellowship with God. And when I'm rightly related to God, I'm able to see life and other people in the right way. I'm able to love others as God has loved them. I'm able to see the situation where God is bigger than the situation. Because God is an omnipotent God. He is a loving Father. He is the eternal Lord. And He holds all things by the power of His hands. In Hebrews 1, 3 and 4. Amen? And what is this stupid virus? this little cough and this little whatever. It's nothing to God. Amen? And He will take us through it. So the key is to be in constant fellowship with God. You want a great personal life. You want a great marriage, a great family life, a great work life, a great business, right? Great church life, great effectiveness is what? A personal fellowship with God. And you know what it is? On a daily basis, God wants to give us something which we don't deserve. On a daily basis, the moment you got saved, He gave you something which you don't deserve. And what is that? Eternal life. And on a daily basis, God wants to give you His life in you. You have it in 1 John 5. If you have the Son, you have the life. You have it. But on a daily basis, experientially, His life in you through the filling of the Holy Spirit, through the filling of the Word in us. His life. And what happens? I start now thinking like Him. I start feeling like Him. I start looking at life through His eyes. I start hearing like Him. I start having His heart. You know what the Bible says? This is what the Bible says. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Romans 13:8. And Romans 13:10 in the NASB says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You know, as Christians and as His children, we are not planning to sin. We are not intending to hurt somebody or to say something unkind to somebody. That is not the intent. God has not saved us for that. That is darkness. But who are we? We are the children of the light, right? And when we fellowship with Him, then our thoughts, our words, and our actions reflect the light. And we receive His life and we reflect His life. And we become vessels and channels to reflect His life. And others also get blessed because of that, right? So in conclusion today, what is fellowship? Having something in common with God. But how is it? Is it like a supernatural thing? Is it like we get up in the morning and we have a little USB port here and we connect and God does His download? Is it like that? It's not that. So today the good news is God's love is not limited by technology or electricity going on and off or water not coming. It doesn't matter. Why? God's love is beyond that. But how? It's just the simple things. It's simple getting up in the morning and just reading the Bible. Just reading the Bible. Simple reading of the scriptures. Simple praying to God as an individual. Praying. Praying may not be necessarily asking things, but just thanking Him for what He has done. Worshipping Him. Praying for one another. I'm sure you've prayed for me, and I can sense your prayer, and I've been praying for you, and we all have been praying for each other. That's beautiful. Praying for one another. Amen? And on a daily basis, we are what? Fellowshipping with God. The question we have to ask ourselves today is, what am I fellowshipping with? In Luke 10:38 to 42, when Jesus came to Mary and Martha's house, Martha was upset. Why was Mary quiet and peaceful? Because she was hearing Jesus' word. Why was Martha upset? Because the details were freaking her out, right? Today you could be working from home and you don't have to be stressed. Why? Just fellowship with God. Listen to His word. Read His word. Think about it. Pray to Him. Ask God's help. Amen? Receive His grace. Allow God to love you and care for you. Fellowship with Him. Thank Him. And what happens? We become overcomers in our situation. Amen? So in conclusion today, on a daily basis, on an experiential level, what we need is just a simple fellowship with God on a daily basis, right? Reading His Word, right? Having our thoughts renewed with His Word, thinking like Him, speaking like Him, acting like Him. He gives us the grace. He is the one who loves us. He is the one who gives us a different heart. He is the one who transforms us. And that transformation which happens on the inside comes on the outside. Amen? Right? So let's be encouraged today that the ongoing fellowship with God is the key to a blessed life. Right? Don't fellowship with the current situation, because it will produce fear and anxiety and trouble. But fellowship with God in the current situation. Right? Sing hymns, sing songs, pray with your family, read the Bible, have a praise declaration. Amen? This itself is a miracle that we are meeting. Isn't it a miracle? It's a miracle we are meeting. Doesn't matter the mass and the discomfort, it's a miracle. And I believe with all my heart we will come through this and we will all meet as a church completely one day. But till then, for the rest of our lives, what is it? An ongoing fellowship with God is the key to a blessed life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. And thank you for each person here, Lord. That each person is precious in your sight. In John 10:3, 10:27, you call each person by name. Each person is a precious child of yours. Each person here is deeply loved by you and is a son and is a daughter, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we really just want to thank you for speaking to us and give us the desire, Lord, to fellowship with you on a daily basis and to respond to your initiation, the initiation of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's all stand and we'll sing the last song. Amen.